All right, Matthew chapter 5 this morning. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to continue in our current sermon series called The Blessed Life. And what we're doing is we're kind of looking at the first part of the greatest sermon ever preached by the Lord, the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, in the first few verses, there are what we call the Beatitudes. And these are eight different things that are basically keys to happiness, because Jesus said, blessed are you if you do these things. And we've been in this study now for several weeks, and today our text verse is found in verse 9. So Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. We get some wonderful lessons on how to live a happy life. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. If you have your Bibles open, your electronic device, however you get to Scripture, highlight this verse. Blessed are the peacemakers, and that's what we're talking about today, peacemakers. I couldn't think of a better message to share with our graduates than what we're going to be talking about today. I don't think this is any coincidence. We've had this sermon series planned for several weeks now. Of course, Mother's Day last week, we talked about verse 8, where it talks about being pure in heart, I think a great thought for us during Mother's Day. And we come to graduation Sunday and we're talking about this subject, being peacemakers, because the Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Now, one of the most important skills that you'll ever learn in life is conflict resolution. And that is basically how to restore, how to reconcile a strained or a broken relationship. I'm just going to tell you this, if you don't get this and if you don't learn this, you can just expect a portion of your life to be very difficult to deal with, because we're imperfect people and we deal with imperfect people. And as a result of that, there's going to be conflict that is going to come from time to time. So how do you deal with it? And we get information and insight from Jesus by him telling us that we can have a blessed life, because the word blessed means, the blessed means happy. So Jesus is telling us, if we want to be happy, then here's one of the ways we're going to be able to do it. And that's just by being a peacemaker. And if you run from conflict, if you try to get away from it, it's not going to work. It may seem like it might for a little bit, but it's not going to work. You're going to wind up miserable. You're going to wind up unhappy much of your life. So it's an important life skill that we must learn, because we're going to face conflict. We're going to face different situations. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's with your spouse. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's in school. Maybe it's in your community. Maybe it's in your own neighborhood. Maybe it's in your own church. How do you deal with conflict? What do you do when conflict arises? Literally everywhere we go. So here's the problem. Nobody's taught us how to deal with conflict. Chances are you didn't learn it from your parents, because your parents were never taught how to deal with conflict. Chances are you never had a class in school where you learn how to resolve a conflict, how to restore a broken relationship. So this is vitally important. Matter of fact, it's so important that Jesus says this. Happy are you if you can be a peacemaker. You want to live a happy life, and we all do, then Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Now, this is what we're going to talk about today just for a few minutes, and we're going to learn some lessons on how to resolve a conflict and how to restore a broken relationship. Now, you may not need this now. Everything may be going well with all of your relationships. You may be experiencing a great time right now. No friction, no conflict that you have to deal with. But I'm going to promise you this. You're going to come to a point in time where you will need this this lesson. You will need this message. You're going to need to pass it on to family. You're going to need to pass it on to your children, to coworkers, to friends, because nobody's really teaching them how to resolve conflict either. So we've been in this series now for 7 weeks. This is our seventh week, and we come to the next to the last beatitude, and right there it is: blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we certainly pray that you would speak to our hearts today. So we open our hearts, our minds, to receive what you have for us from your word today. And I just pray that you'd deal with us in tender mercy and loving kindness. Seal this in our hearts and in our lives. As we look at, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. They'll be called the sons of God. So I pray now, you would help us, use us for Christ's sake. We pray this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Here's the deal. One of the ways that you can know you're a child of God, one of the ways that you can know that heaven is your eternal home, one of the characteristics of a believer is this, by being a peacemaker. Now, I've highlighted the word peacemaker because that's what we're dealing with today, and that's our topic today. And I just want to start off by telling you what peacemaking is not. So if you have your Daystar card and pen in hand, you're ready to take a few notes, jot down a couple of things that peacemaking is not. Number one, peacemaking is not avoiding. It is not avoiding. All right. Some people think, you know, if I'm going to keep peace in my home, my marriage, my workplace, if I'm going to keep peace, the best thing I can do is just keep my mouth shut. Just don't rock the boat. Just grin and bear it. That's not peacemaking. Peacemaking is not running from it. It's not avoiding the problem. So peacemaking is not avoiding, and peacemaking is not appeasing. Peacemaking is not appeasing. Appeasing means that I always give in. They always get their way. It's peace at any price. It's appeasement, and that's not peacemaking either. As far as I can tell, Jesus never ran from a legitimate conflict that he had and that he dealt with. He never ran from it, never one time. He knew how to deal with it. He knew what to say. He knew how to resolve it. He knew how to restore a relationship. And the Bible says that God blesses the peacemakers. And I want to ask you a question today. Do we need peacemakers in our world today? Yeah. Absolutely, like never before. Absolutely, like never before. We definitely need to be peacemakers in our personal lives and in our world. Now, what I want to do today, and let me just kind of give you my agenda right up front. I just kind of want to teach you some things, give you seven steps according to the Word of God, how you can resolve a conflict if and when that time arises, and how to restore a broken relationship. But before we get to that, I want to give you three reasons why this ought to matter to you. Why should I be a peacemaker? Well, three reasons. Number one is this, and jot it down on your Daystar card if you're taking notes. Number one is this, if you're not a peacemaker, if you avoid making peace with others during conflict, it blocks my fellowship with God. If I avoid being a peacemaker, it blocks my fellowship with God. You cannot be right with God, and listen to me, you cannot be right with God and wrong with other people. Now, I'm going to give you a scripture verse for that. Here's what the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hate his brother, he's a liar, for he does not love his brother. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? The Bible says that I can't claim to be close to God and be distant from a brother. That's just what Scripture says. So if I'm not a peacemaker, one of the things it's going to do, it's going to block my fellowship with God. So that means that I ought to try to resolve the conflict if it comes and when it comes. So one of the things that it does, it blocks fellowship. If I'm not a peacemaker, it blocks fellowship with God. Here's the second thing that it does, and that it blocks my prayers from being answered. It blocks my prayers from being answered. Did you know if you're out of whack in your relationship, the Bible says that our prayers are not going to be answered? The reason for this, God is love, and the number one thing that he wants us to do is he wants us to share that love with people that we come in contact with, and if we are in conflict with one another and with someone else, we're certainly not sharing that love of God. So if I am not being a peacemaker, it blocks my fellowship with God. It also blocks my prayers from being answered. So, guys, let me give you, husbands, let me give you something, what Scripture says. It's applicable, you know, especially to husbands, but to all. And here's what the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, the wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So if I'm out of fellowship with my wife, I'm not treating her with respect like she deserves, then God doesn't hear my prayer. There is a connection. There is a connection between the horizontal relationship that we have with God and our vertical relationship that we have with one another. And that is this, that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, with all of our strength, but we are to love our neighbor as our, you know, as we love ourselves. So this is vitally important. So if we're not a peacemaker, it blocks my fellowship with God. It blocks my prayers from being answered. Here's a third reason why we need to resolve conflict, and that it blocks my happiness. You probably know this from personal experience. I mean, you can accomplish all kinds of things in life. You can win award after award, achievement after achievement. They can all pile up one on top of the other. But if there's conflict in the home, if there's conflict with relations that you have, then life just sometimes stinks. It's just miserable. So if I don't be if I am not a peacemaker, then it blocks my happiness. Here's what Scripture says, James chapter 3 and verse 18. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, and I've highlighted that, sown in peace by those who make peace. Now we're talking about being peacemakers here. There is a universal law that God has divined that says this, that we are going to reap what we sow. That's not a man-made law. That's not something that some pastor made up to say in church. That is a universal law that God says this, you're going to reap what you sow. Now, it works both ways. Understand, it works for the good and it works for the bad. If you sow anger, you're going to reap anger. If you sow bitterness, you're going to reap bitterness. If you sow resentment, you're going to reap resentment. Understand, it works both ways. Now, if you sow generosity, being kind to people, that's what you're going to reap. If you sow generous in praise, if you're generous in praise with people, then that's what you're going to reap. So it works both ways, for good and or for bad. But here's the interesting thing about sowing and reaping. You don't get back exactly what you sowed. You don't get back exactly what you planted. You always get back more of the same. Isn't it true? If you plant one kernel of corn, you don't get one kernel of corn in return. You get a stalk with hundreds of kernels of corn. So whatever you plant, understand this, you're going to reap more than you can imagine. So if we're not peacemakers, it's going to block my happiness. It's going to block my prayers from being answered. It's going to block my fellowship with God. I don't want any of those things to happen. We want to be peacemakers. So how do we do it? How do we deal with conflict? How do we deal with individuals who sometimes are difficult to deal with? If you want to be a peacemaker, seven things I want to mention to you. And here's the first one. You ready to jot it down? If I'm going to be a peacemaker, I've got to make the first move. I've got to make the first move. We don't wait on someone else to make the first move. We take the initiative. Now then, let me just ask you, and you can answer with a hearty amen. Is that difficult to do? You may be thinking, it was all their fault. When they come to me, I'll be glad to sit down and we'll deal with the conflict then. But until then, no thank you. But God expects us to make the first move. That's why it's called being a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. God says having harmony in our relationships is so important. It's more important, get this, it's more important than you coming to church and listening to a sermon being preached and taught today. I'm going to show it to you from Scripture because here's what Jesus said. Therefore, if you bring your gift, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. And I highlighted these next few words because they're so very important. First be reconciled to your brother and then come offer your gift. Be reconciled. Jesus tells us when to do it. He says, do it at once. Don't delay. So now, if we see somebody leaving during the offering today, then we've got an idea of where they might be leaving, right? No, I'm just kidding. But it is important that you deal with this. Don't just Put it off. Don't delay. But if we're going to deal with conflict resolution, if I'm going to be a peacemaker, then I'm going to have to make the first move. Maybe you've got some relationship conflicts in your life right now that have been going on for some period of time, maybe some for weeks, maybe months, maybe some even for years. God says, don't do that. Don't do that. It doesn't matter whether you're the offended person or whether you're the offender or a little bit of both. God says, go ahead and make the first move. Conflict is never resolved accidentally. Is it? Never resolved accidentally. It's always intentionally. God wants us to be peacemakers. And if we're going to experience happiness in our life, this is one of them. We have to be a peacemaker, and that is included. We have to do this. We have to make the first move. Now, not on your card, but you can jot this down. I put it on the screen for you. The only way to resolve a conflict is to face it. The only way to resolve a conflict is to face it. You can't go around it. You can't go over it. You can't go underneath it. Listen, the only way that you can deal with conflict is go ahead and face it. Now, I know that's hard. I know that's tough. And we'll do everything in our power not to face that conflict. And we'll talk more about that in just a few moments. What causes us to postpone and procrastinate when it comes to conflict issues? What causes us to procrastinate with maybe some issues that we might have at home, or issues we might have at work, or issues we might have with school? What causes that? And there's really just one word, and that word is fear. Generally, people are afraid of conflict. People don't like conflict. That goes all the way back, literally. I mean, we can trace that all the way back to the first couple in the Bible, Adam and Eve. And you can see they disobeyed God. They got out of fellowship with God and got out of whack with Him. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible tells us this. So Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And I've kind of highlighted the word afraid here. And as a result of being afraid, he said, I hid myself. I got to thinking, you know what? Men have been hiding themselves from women when there's conflict for a long number of years. Women have been hiding themselves from men when there's conflict for a number of years. So it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. He says, I was afraid, and I hid myself. And I was thinking about this week as I was preparing this message. In every marriage, there are skunks and there are turtles. Let me see if I can explain. If you are a skunk, when you get upset, everybody knows it. You just raise a big stink. So there's skunks in marriages, but then there's also turtles on the other hand, where you just kind of pull yourself into your shell. You stick your head back in the shell. You just kind of either hide or hurl. Now, where are you as far as your marriage is concerned? And one of the reasons that we do that in our relationships, we hide or hurl because we're afraid. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of misunderstanding. We're afraid of being, saying something that's going to be used against us a little bit later down the line. There's just all kinds of number of reasons why we might be a little bit afraid. But peacemakers take the initiative. So where do we get the courage that we need to take the initiative? I'm telling you, it comes from one place. It comes from the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says that God is love, and in love it casts out fear. In perfect love there is no fear. You get full of God, the fear subsides. The fear goes down, it goes away. And listen to me, one of the lessons I've learned over the years is this, that we never change until our love exceeds our fear. We never change until our pain exceeds our fear. So the starting point is to say, dear God, I need you to fill me with your love. I need you to fill me, because Scripture tells us this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. One of my wife's favorite verses here, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. So everything that I'm going to say here today, it's going to kind of hinge on this. These practical steps, they cannot be done unless we're filled with God, God's love, because it's the love of God that's going to help eliminate the fear that comes. So how do you become a peacemaker? Well, number one, you make the first move. Here's the second thing. You can jot it down this way. Ask God for wisdom. So we're asking God for help. Now then we're going to ask God for wisdom, how to deal with this situation, this conflict that's been going on for some time. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him." So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make the decision that I need to take the initiative. I need to face this conflict with the individual that I'm dealing with. I'm not going to go with unresolved conflict anymore. I'm going to face it. I'm going to make the initiative, but I'm going to ask God for wisdom as I go. Because I don't want to be out of fellowship with God. I don't want to have my prayers, I don't want my prayers unanswered. I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to be unhappy. I want to experience these things. So I'm going to take the first step and I'm going to ask God for wisdom. And I'm just going to lay it out before Him. God, I need Your help here. I really need You to fill me with You because I'm scared to death. And God, I don't know what to say. So You're going to have to help me how to say it, when to say it, what to say. And we just beg God and plead God for wisdom. You ask for His help. Maybe you're already thinking of somebody in your life that you know there's a little bit of a strain there in that relationship. It could be with a coworker. It could be with a family member. It could be with a spouse. It could be with your kids. But you know there's a little bit of a strain there in that relationship. So I want to just stop right now. And as a pastor who loves you, and I want to pray for you. So would you join me in prayer right now? This is so vitally important. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, You've said that it's important for us to get something right with somebody that we're out of harmony with. And Lord, You're saying that we need to do our best to make peace, to bring harmony. So I pray that You'd give us the courage to reconcile. The courage to deal with the tough issues that maybe have been swept under the rug. Maybe put in a corner somewhere. We just haven't dealt with it. Heavenly Father, help us to be real. Help us to be people of integrity. Dear God in heaven, help us to say the right thing and the right attitude. And be ready to reconcile. And I pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus and with thanksgiving. Amen. So if we're going to be peacemakers, we've got to take the initiative, make the first step. We've got to ask God for wisdom. Here's the third thing. These are going to move pretty quick now. Third thing, I begin with what's my fault. I begin with what's my fault. I've made the first move. I've asked God for wisdom. I've kind of set up a time now. We're going to get this thing out in the open. We're going to deal with this. Going to have this peace conference. But I don't start with what they've done wrong. I don't start with the pain that they have caused me. I don't start with the hurt that I have. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But you start and you begin with what's my fault. The conflict that you may be experiencing may be 99.9% someone else's fault. But surely there's something somewhere that you can start with that might be your fault. Instead of accusing, instead of attacking, instead of blaming, just open up with, what's my fault? And the Bible says there's two causes for conflict, not in your card, but you can jot them down if you find some room to do that. There's basically two causes for conflict. Number one is self-centeredness, just being a self-centered person. That's what's going on inside of me. If I'm filled with peace, then very little upsets me. If I'm filled with the love of God, then nothing really irritates me. If I'm filled with Jesus, almost nothing can tick me off. But on the other hand, if I'm filled with me, if I'm filled with pride, if I'm filled with self-centeredness, anything, the least little thing can tick me off and irritate me. So it all depends on what's happening inside of us. And that's why I always encourage you to keep short accounts with God. Don't add sin to sin. Don't do that. But just keep short accounts with God. Make sure that peace of God flows in and through you. Because I'm going to tell you something. When my selfish wants bump up against your selfish wants, there can be some friction. And how are you going to deal with that? Well, we understand that conflict is caused for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's caused for self-centeredness. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from," here it is, "your desires." What's going on in here? What's going on in your life, in your heart? Your desires for pleasure that war in your members. So where do they come from? Where do the fights come from? Where do the quarrels come from? Does it come from the people that you're surrounded by? Does it come from the, as one person I used to work with said, "I'm just surrounded by meatheads," you know? Does it come from the meatheads that you're surrounded by? No. It literally comes from what's going on inside of you. It doesn't mean that I agree with everything that I see. I mean, there's a lot to disagree with. It just means this, that I can disagree without being distressed. And generally, if you're distressed, it's not by the people around you. It's usually by what's going on inside of you that affects the people around you. Does that make sense? So, number one cause for conflict is self-centeredness. You could write this down on your card. I put it on the screen. It's always more rewarding to resolve a conflict than to dissolve a relationship. So, first cause of conflict, self-centeredness. Second cause of conflict is this. It's pride. Self-centeredness and then pride. Prideful people get their feelings hurt. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us this in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 13. It's a verse that I shared with you just a short time ago. It says this, Proverbs 13, 10, first part of the verse. It said, "By pride comes nothing but strife." Now, I just want to pause just for a second. Now, I'm praying that that sinks into all of us. By pride comes nothing but strife. Maybe you've been in conflict with an individual for a long period of time, and when you see that individual, something just wells up inside of you. I mean, it just really eats at you. If you see them out in public, you just don't want nothing to do with them. And that's a hard place to be. So I'm going to give you a secret miracle sentence that has the potential to break any conflict that you might be facing. Are you ready? Secret miracle sentence. And here it is. You ready? "I'm sorry. I was only thinking of me." That's why you deal with conflict with a humble heart. And you begin with, "What's my fault?" Here's the way Jesus said it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't consider the plank in your own eye?" Drop down to verse 5. It says this, "First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, can I just tell you something? That 2,000 years ago, that was considered Hebrew humor. Now, this is Jesus preaching, and Jesus used a lot of humor in his preaching. And there is punchline after punchline in the Sermon on the Mount. And it is just to the point where, as Jesus is talking about this, there's just a lot of funny stuff going on. And I can imagine that when Jesus said something like this, "It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get to heaven with all of his money." I am sure at that particular point in time that the people listening to Jesus, they had to be slapping their knee, laughing so hard, you know, and trying to picture a camel going through an eye of a needle. I mean, Hebrew humor, we don't understand it. It's 2,000 years ago, but here they understood it, and I'm sure they were just dying, rolling, laughing. And Jesus said, You know, when you see those religious leaders over there, they strain in a gnat and they swallow a camel. Now you think about that. And I can just imagine the people were saying, "Stop it, Lord, you're killing us here." You know, I mean, it's too much. We can't take it anymore. And here's what he says: before you can remove the speck of sawdust out of someone else's eye, you better get the telephone pole out of your eye. And here's the point. He's saying you need to confess your part in the conflict. So I make the first move. I ask God for wisdom. I confess what's my fault. Here's the fourth thing. I listen for their hurt and perspective. Look at me just for a second. Anytime there's conflict, there's hurt. Anytime there's conflict, there's hurt. I said it recently, I'll say it again. Hurt people hurt people. People who aren't hurting generally don't hurt people. People who are filled with love generally don't hurt people, they love people. People who are filled with joy don't generally hurt people, they bring joy to people. But if I'm hurting inside, let me tell you, chances are very good and chances are high. I'll hurt someone else with my words and or actions. And the more that I hurt, the more that I'm going to hurt. Isn't that right? It happens. You've seen it. You've experienced it. I know. So we need to love those people who deserve it the least. There are people who need massive doses of love. So when we're dealing with conflict and we're trying to be a peacemaker because it's going to bring happiness to us, then we listen for their hurt and their perspective. So James says this, chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man," and I've highlighted three things here. First one is this: be swift to hear, quick to listen. The second one is this: slow to speak. And if you do these two, you're swift to hear and slow to speak, then this third one just automatically will happen. You'll be slow to wrath. Here's the fifth step. Okay, I've admitted my faults. I've listened to their hurts, their perspective. Here's the fifth thing: I speak the truth tactfully. I say it with kindness. People often say things like this, and I hear it a lot. People will say, I just tell it like it is. And I just to be honest with you, I kind of cringe when I hear that. Because it sends the message that you just really don't give a flip about anybody, the person you're dealing with, the person you're talking about. And I kind of just cringe when I hear that, because here's what the Bible says, and we're just letting Scripture speak. It says, "But speaking the truth in love." When you just tell it like it is, are you telling it and speaking the truth in love? It's not just what you say, but it's how you say it. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. Never. People change faster. People change easier when the truth is wrapped not in a club, but when it's wrapped in love. Your point is made much quicker when it's wrapped in love. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, there's one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. Is that when you speak, is this how it feels, like the sword piercing? But the tongue of the wise promotes health. Scripture tells us this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, what builds up people, not what tears down people, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So be very careful in choosing your words tactfully. Here's the sixth thing, and write it down. We're almost finished, and that is this. Fix the problem, not the blame. Fix the problem, not the blame. In other words, we need to learn to attack the issue and not the other person. Long as you're attacking the other person, you're not attacking the issue. And what we want to do is we want to change that. We want to fix the problem and not the blame. Focus on fixing the problem. God's very specific about the kind of words that we're to use as well. Here's what he says in Scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and I highlight filthy language because that's what we're kind of dealing with here. He said, you put that out of your mouth. He says, in your marriage, in your relationships, no angry rage, no hurtful language, no insults, no belittling, no place for that. Fix the problem, not the blame. Fix the problem, not the blame. All right. Here's what the last one says as Michael comes and we prepare to wrap this up. Final step. That's just focus on reconciliation. Reconciliation means this. It means reestablishing the relationship. Now listen, it may never get back to the point where it once was. But at least you might be able to see that person out on the street and be able to speak to them without gritting your teeth and without wanting to slap them or grab them by the shoulders and shake them real good. Focus on reconciliation. The truth is, you're not going to agree on everything with everyone. We're all different. But you can disagree without being disagreeable if you focus on reconciliation. All right. Jesus said this, blessed are the peacemakers, or happy are the peacemakers. I'm going to tell you something. Once you get that resolved, if there's an issue there and it's resolved, life is a whole lot sweeter. There is more joy there. So here's my challenge to you this week. As your pastor who loves you, our world is filled with conflict. I mean, it's constant. It's constant conflict, division, arguments, stress between people getting in each other's faces. I mean, people attacking each other constantly. And as a result, we have broken relationships. We have a broken economy. We have a broken government. We have broken marriages. We have broken lives. We have broken hearts. And my challenge to us as a church is to be agents of reconciliation. Because Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers. Here's the last thing I really want to encourage you. I'm going to give you one more passage of Scripture. And that is this. Become a bridge builder. Not a wall builder. Because here's what Scripture says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself. That blows my mind. You talk about conflict. Me shaking my fist in God's face. But God showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So He's reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. But watch this. And He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given that to His children. He's given that to me and you. That's a gift. All right, now I've highlighted some. Back it up just a second. I should have put these on the same screen, but I didn't. I've highlighted ministry of reconciliation in verse 18. Now go verse 19, son. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And He's committed to us not just the ministry of reconciliation, but He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now look at me and I'm done. I don't want anything to come between my fellowship with God. Now, I've showed you this before, and I feel like I have to say this, so just hang in with me just for a couple minutes. This represents God. This represents me and you as individuals. This represents sin. The Bible tells us there's a great gulf fixed between God and man, and sin separates us. This representing sin separates us from God. But when Christ reconciled us, when we established a relationship with Him, when we trusted and received Christ as our Savior, there was a relationship never to be severed. Because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. That's the day that we'll see Him stand before you. So what's broken is this, not the relationship. So what's broken is the fellowship. I don't want anything to break that fellowship between me and God. I certainly don't like conflict. I hate it. I'm telling you, you are looking at a turtle. You're looking at someone that'll stick his head in the sand. You're looking at someone that'll go until he's backed into a corner. She'll tell you that. I don't want anything to separate my fellowship with God. I don't want anything to hinder my prayers, because I pray for you guys and I want God to hear my prayer for you. And I want God to bless you. So I want God to hear my prayers. And then a way that we can be happy, Jesus said this, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. So if there's conflict there, it's tough. I promise you, it is tough. I understand and I realize that. It's tough to deal with it. But you're better by dealing with it. We're better by dealing with it. All right, so let's pray.